I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello!
Welcome back.
Episode 2, Season 4. It's a lot of seasons.
It is. It's like Breaking Bad, mate.
There's only one more to go if it's like that.
Was it 5 or 4 seasons?
Only 5 seasons.
We'll never know. We might end up dead on
Trev might go full Walter White.
I think I just gave a massive spoiler, didn't I?
Yeah, he did. It's fine. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad now, it's just your own fault.
It absolutely is. And also, what I said wasn't 100% sure. It's sort of left open-ended, isn't it?
Anyway,
this
is a podcast where me, Chris Martin, and Carl Donnelly help our friend Trevor Crook sort of have a life.
Yeah, get him out of the house.
Get him out of the house.
Give him some new hobbies.
Help with anxiety.
Yep. OCD.
I'm really excited about this week because I was away, but you guys went to a life drawing class.
Finally got to do it after the aborted original life drawing attempt where it was in a church hall, wasn't it?
It was in a...
was that season two?
Season two. He saw it was
back
next
in
to
season
a,
two.
He saw it was next to a church and then went, nah.
Yeah. So we finally found one. We'll talk about once we tell us. We'll get into the story. I'll tell you.
I'm excited.
There was a reason this one. We thought Trev's going to be all over this.
All right, let's have fun. How it did? Yes, Trevor.
Yeah, I'm back for episode 2. Bit exhausted, actually.
Oh, you've been tired. It's a lot of effort for you.
It is actually. Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm surprisingly tired. You probably think, well, he does nothing really, but it's internal energy.
We'll keep it upbeat, though.
That's right.
Producer Joel's like, just overcompensate.
Yeah, we're professionals.
Who have you been... last week, you told us about your mate you emailed.
Yeah, right.
What was his name again?
Dub. D-U-B, yeah, Dub.
So who else is on our little weird group... when you send us group emails, he's one of those. Who are the other ones?
They're all insane, as you
described. No, some are very nice, decent, sane people.
I think you'd be struggling to find someone who does as...
I mean, I've got to scroll through a lot of emails because you have sent me a lot about George Soros.
You know, Dub's probably the most...
he's the most eccentric.
Eccentric, yeah.
He's the only one that gets his penis out in public.
He hadn't done that for years.
Okay. Since CCTV got invented, he hasn't done it.
Here we go. Right, so this is the list of people. Yep. Should we have full names? No one will find them. Martin Spencer is...
Oh, he's my very good friend. I met him at the abattoirs.
Oh, yeah.
He's an abattoir's friend.
Oh, really?
Right.
And, back in the day, mate. Abattoir. What age were you when you met Martin Spencer, then?
I met initially met Martin at a karate class. And then through talking, we discovered we worked at the abattoirs together. Yeah. But he was...
That's normally how you just describe it.
Yeah, that's right.
Through talking and, in a conversation.
Through telepathy.
Yeah. Martin was a slaughterman.
Wow.
And I was just on the brain table. Yeah. So he had much higher status.
Yeah, cool.
He's a
he was a straight-up murderer. Where he just had to, mop it up, essentially.
Oh, yeah. And I suppose you call it murder. Or just killing shit.
Yeah, it sounds better, actually. I should change the crime name to that.
Put away for
first-degree killing shit. Yeah.
He's a lovely, man, and so.
Unless you're
I met Martin.
Unless you're a bull.
And because we were in martial arts together, I was a senior grade. When I met Martin, it was probably a brown belt.
So you were higher than him.
Yeah, I was higher than him.
The stakes were flipped. Abattoir.
Pardon the pun,
Yeah.
The stakes were flipped. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was high status.
That's
the
double pun. Stakes from the abattoir flipped from the karate. Next level punnage.
So I just started talking. Yeah, when you click with someone straight away, like you just. Because Martin is such a, he's a lovely, he's probably my nicest friend, actually, Martin. He's the most genuine.
He's my nicest friend.
The least fucked.
Yeah, okay.
Keeps his penis to himself?
Yeah, he doesn't. He's very conservative in that respect. He just behaves.
If that's how you're defining conservative. Yeah, right.
And then I found out where Martin gave me a lift home, and then I, we used to train together, and I was a senior player. I'd write the training routines for us. And then he used to be a cross-country runner and a boxer. And he's funny because he's about in his late 60s now, and he went for a walk to a designation in Adelaide. So it took me 20 minutes to get there, Trev, you know. And so he ended up with QP. So he went from, you know, being a great runner and a boxer, very fit indeed, to a physical fucking wreck.
Hi, Martin, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Will he be listening?
Yeah, he might do. but he knows what I'm like. He doesn't care. But the but I said to Dub, you know, Dub, my cynical mate. Yeah. I said,
will he be listening, Dub?
He might be. I'm not quite sure. But I said to Dub, you know, Martin, he's got like heart problems and he's got arthritis on his knees. His back's fucked and really high blood pressure. And Dub says, well, why doesn't he just kill himself?
One of the options.
Yeah. It's one of the options. So that was Dub's response. Typical cynical Dub response.
That's a bit rude saying that, but your nicest friend.
But your nicest friend.
And Martin's
big. Have you got like a? Obviously, we've discussed many times about your lists, that you make lists.
Yes.
Have you actually got a list of your nicest friends?
I've got a list. You know that list I had about the people I want to live to 100.
Oh yeah.
There was like 12 of them.
Was Martin in there?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was, mate.
Was Dub in there?
Yes, he was, actually. Oh. Yeah. But I had six who could only make it to 80 because I thought I couldn't quite cover the whole fucking list of friends I've got.
Yeah.
So I had then I thought in my head I'd justify it and go, oh, yeah, but there'll be a sub list of six.
Yeah.
But they'll only live to 80.
Yeah.
So then I picked my least favourite people out of my 18 friends. I'd go, well, you can live to 80. You can live to 80. And but my good friends, well, 100.
Made the cut.
Yeah. So Martin's right up there.
Oh, that's nice to know.
100. Nice. I wouldn't pick necessarily young people because they'll probably live a long time anyway, so I tend to pick older people.
So niceness also depends on
niceness. So then I picked Martin to live to 100, and then I thought, well, Candy, that's his wife, she needs to fucking be in there as well, otherwise you're going to be miserable.
He's going to be sad, exactly.
That's right, so I put her on the list.
He might become
well.
Cynical like Dub.
That's right.
It's the last thing you want.
You don't want to fucking Martin's gone full Dub.
So that Martin's very political. He's an old fucking communist, and so old Labour man. When I say communist, and so and he speaks fluent Spanish. Please,
I love a bit of detail.
He's
always got a great little detail.
Every one of
the
others always and he's scared of mice.
One surprise little.
He's the nicest man.
A slaughterman from the abattoirs who speaks fluent Spanish.
Why is Candy Spanish?
Yeah, she's Italian or Maltese.
All Maltese.
Two different countries, all right.
Yeah. Which one is she?
Eh?
Is she Italian?
Maltese.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure she's Maltese. Fuck, anyway. She's from that general region.
Have you ever been to Malta?
No, I haven't, actually, no.
It's pleasant, actually.
Too many churches.
Right? Oh, there is actually very church-heavy.
Yeah.
I remember going into a church with comedian Craig Campbell.
Oh, I know Craig,
And he walked in. I don't know why I found it amusing. He walked in eating a pizza out of a box. In a church, I was like, have some respect, mate.
Eating a pizza out of a box. It was like when I was in America and I saw a guy walk into a stall at a hockey game eating a pizza.
Yeah.
Eating a pizza on the toilet.
That's disgusting.
But again,
on the toilet.
Oh, it was more of the pizza. Even if it had been a slice of pizza, that would have been less weird for me than a box of pizza.
Any food, eating on the toilet, that's gross, mate.
Anyway, Martin, I think, Martin, like a lot of people, you become disillusioned with your own culture, so you tend to go toward another culture.
Malta. You go for the old Maltese culture.
But you tend to deify the other culture. Mate. I know some Australians who went into Japanese, the one, my martial arts friends, suddenly become like the Japanese. They've got various Japanese mannerisms. They're fucking Aussies like me.
Yeah.
But they go up to one another, they go, ooh. Yeah, when they bow at martial arts, they go, oosh. Yeah, which is like a Japanese, like that sort of formal shit. You know what I mean? But,
so they do that in just public to people, though?
Yeah. If you meet a high ranking Japanese instructor, you'd bow, a little bow, and you'd go, oosh. Oos. And there you go, oos back. Oh, yeah. Oos. It was like a greeting, but very
formal. So it's just a noise, though. That doesn't mean anything. It's not.
It's just a.
That's a sign of respect.
Yeah, a sign of respect, that's right. Oos. So,
if in doubt, it's a sign of respect. And yeah. Oos. You just like doing the noise.
Yeah, I do.
So
yeah.
What happens then? These, because they, I've got no. They don't like their own culture, so they veer towards another culture.
Yeah.
And then that culture becomes, they deify everything. Yeah. That culture can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And I found quite a few people like that. Martin has probably gone that way. Well, it's still European culture, isn't it? The Spanish is fucking European. So he's gone the way of the language and he's joined Spanish social groups and all that kind of stuff.
Spanish.
Yeah.
It's like that pig disease or something else. Yeah. 30 years later, his heart's going to break. He's going to turn Spanish.
Spanish frenzies.
Yeah. So,
does he love tapas?
He loves paella and all that sort of thing.
That's a good pronunciation. So good,
yeah.
Paella.
Yeah, that's right. Fucking my karate instructor, Sugimoto, I didn't send him an email. He couldn't understand it's Japanese, but the.
you could watch the video, though, on YouTube.
What?
You could put him on your email list, is that what you're saying? Couldn't you send him an email and then he can
watch? I've got his email address.
Oh, okay. That's the main reason, apart from the fact.
He doesn't speak fucking English anyway. Okay. But, so I'd, if I met him today, I'd say, oh, sensei, I wouldn't call him Suji.
Yeah.
He'd be highly offended.
Right. Is he still on board with the whole Japanese thing, or has he decided to be, I don't know, Portuguese or something?
Him?
Yeah, just
no, he's fully Japanese.
No, he's fully.
he's 100%. I think he's had a fucking stroke. He used to headbutt steel fucking post and shit. Part of his training, headbutt things. He'd headbutt posts and walls and that.
Yeah.
And he had a stroke.
Did you ever make you? Did you ever do the one we got headbutt like bricks in half or all that stuff?
No, I broke. It fucking hurts, Ash. It's like fuck. I did break my record with 3 terracotta tiles.
Yeah.
Roof tiles.
Something good. I love to do a detail.
Like an Italian dessert.
DIY SOS.
They're cement tiles, not the clay ones. They're right. Fucking, you know, very easy, flimsy
any
indeed.
Any old brick can break.
Well, those. The Japanese roof tiles, they're just clay.
Yeah.
And they just, you can do that with them and break them.
Yeah.
So if you break 20 of them, it looks impressive, but yeah, just.
Right, but you did 3.
You on terracotta.
When you did three, what part of your hand did you use?
Yeah, I used that.
Closed fist.
Yeah.
That's cool. Right.
And what noise did you make when you did it?
Ah, fuck!
Nice, Trev.
You set them up. You got house bricks here, and then you put the tiles across them. I did it on my parents' veranda, actually. And,
sounds like you used their building materials.
It was a hole in the house afterwards.
I'll tell you the story. I went to Dachau concentration camp on a tourist thing. I was in Dachau concentration camp.
I assumed you weren't there at the time.
No, I wasn't there at the time.
I was in Dachau, guys.
But I decided, I saw some roof tiles there. Can you believe it? I don't know why they were there. They were some building instruction. I thought, fuck, I wouldn't mind breaking some tiles because I was into that at the time.
And you are at, you know,
yeah, so
an
I
old
actually
concentration
set the,
camp.
Yeah, set these fucking tiles up like in Dachau concentration. Yeah. I think,
and were you on a guided tour or something?
Eh?
Were you in the middle of a guided
tour?
Yeah,
I broke away from the tour. I broke away from it.
Off to do some karate.
That's right.
Sneak away to smash some bricks up.
I saw the fucking tile. I was like, I'll fucking try and break a few. So I'd look around. No one's watching. So I set the tiles up and just fucking smash. Very satisfied.
Did you smash through them?
Yeah, got through them. And then I looked up and there was a fucking guard just fucking standing there like that, a security guard.
I was confused, must he be?
Give him a fucking evil eye, eh?
Well, normally people would, if people nipped off from the group, it'd be like to do something like.
To have a cigarette or.
Have a cigarette. Wee.
Yes, that's right.
Steal something.
Yeah.
Just that you definitely are the only person they've ever caught. He'd gone off to break some tires.
This place has already had enough horrible stuff happening. Yeah, yeah. And Trevor's like, we'll smash a couple more things up.
Yeah. Because most people probably walk around with a sort of sense of sadness and.
Have you been to Anne Frank's house? Would you nip off there?
Yeah, just got there.
Just a brown dust kiss.
Yeah. Did a carter in a lounge room. When you're a martial artist, you can't. It's always a martial arts move. I do it all the time.
Yeah,
and it's like almost even at the bus stop, I'll just go fucking back fist, not person, but the
just to the like, air.
Yeah,
just through the air.
That wasn't mental at all.
I'll do a low heel kick to the bus stop, and
I always get a seat on the bus.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sort of, I used to show up on women's doorstep with that full-blown asthma.
So, Trev, the task this week was to go life drawing, and I was excited because I was getting WhatsApp updates from Carl and Joel, and all I knew was you were going to a strip club.
It's a pub in East London. It's a very cool idea.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Right. It's basically a group called the East London Stripper Collective, I believe. And so we thought, and also we did think, obviously, it's strippers, so that might ease Trev in.
Because when you heard about it, were you like, that sounds good?
I envisaged that there'd be like six strippers on the stage, like stripping.
Envisions a strip club.
A strip club
where you draw.
And they suddenly stop mid-strip. That's what I envisioned.
Right.
Musical statues.
That is sort of what...
You thought it was musical statues of strippers.
But no, that was sort of the plan. It's meant to be, one person moving between poses. So if you do some quick, they stop and you quickly have a couple of minutes to do that one. Just do very quick sketches and then sometimes they hold them for longer. But so this is what happened. So it was all good. Everything was working. Me and Joel met in the pub first. Trevor's running late, as per. And basically we went up to the room and the lady who was running it was lovely. She then informed us, in the 5 years they've done it, it's always been a female stripper. But this day, for the first time ever, it was going to be a male stripper.
Unbelievable.
And he was an Adonis of a man. Let's be honest.
Why?
They just wanted to try it.
Oh, I love that. On the one day in 5 years, Trevor Hook being a sexy lady.
Yeah. And then we just thought, what are the chances of this happening?
Did you come into the room? They were already sitting there.
Yeah, I
was. Everyone was sitting there. Trevor's the last.
Great!
So tell me,
describe what you witnessed. Did you?
Whenever I'm going to some kind of sexual thing, whether it's a fetish club, I get quite excited.
Yeah,
and I sort of breathe a bit I get like an asthma thing happening, and. I used to show up on women's doorstep with that full-blown asthma. Yeah. I was like so excited that, it's a sexual thing. Isn't
worked Imagine
that.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't quite on that level of excitement, but nevertheless, I was a little bit titillated, and I thought it was going to be half a dozen strippers on the stage, no one in the fucking drawing. That's what I thought. So I was very, I can't wait to get there. I'm on the bus going,
Come on together, but you are late.
Giving the driver a pat on the head. Come on, fucking speed it up. So eventually we got there, and then I ended up in the place, and I walked in there. It was like a big black dude.
He was honestly the most ripped.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
good looking. Probably maybe 30, late 20s. Black.
He's
guy.
In great shape. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So did you...
Now what I thought? I thought, well, it was okay. There's going to be a female stripper in the second half. So.
I like the fact you actually still had hope that it's going to work out for you.
You're like, this is not what I quite wanted.
Yeah, I had my fucking hope.
So when you got, were you like, okay, this is...
I was very disappointed.
Yeah, was there a person running the class who could tell? Did they explain it or were they just...
No, I just sat down. I thought, well, what's going on here? And then I thought, well, there's a woman in the second half. It has to be. That's right.
Just you cannot believe they would possibly have a man do just faux halves.
And then I did the drawing second half, and then I go, well, during the break, I thought, well, what?
Oh, you got a nice break in between.
Well, why can he still fucking there?
He had changed outfits, though.
Oh, yeah.
He knew what he was doing. He could move as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. It was a music on.
Yeah, proper and it was like cool Pony. Like dance music. Yeah, like it was basically we just watched a male stripper and we just happened to have pens and paper.
I thought it was just in my head for some reason just going and drawing a naked guy.
I didn't watch a guy
seductively strip and then just.
I mean, some of the poses, and actually our seats were the nearest to him. I checked. I checked the measurement. Yeah. Like when he was holding the pole, and his like sort of ass was to us.
Yeah.
I mean, we were right in the mix.
Did you draw it?
Yeah, I did my best to draw, but as you can see, you can see my drawing.
Well, I mean, we are going to put these
on Instagram. Yeah.
We should. We should get them signed and maybe have them as like prizes or something signed. Because they are masterpieces. People will see when we put them online. I think this is. I don't know if this is something like, you know. You admitted if you're not like good at something or you don't think you're good at something, you get a bit sort of bored almost.
Bored with it, yeah.
So you could, when you started messing around and like adding stuff in.
Yeah.
So basically, he was holding onto a pole, and one of the drawings, Trev changed the pole to a bus stop.
Then did you walk on stage and start doing karate kicks?
I started putting dialogue in it, and then I was getting a bit bored. I put my 10 favourite fruit on the side.
Right, that's
funny.
And then I'd do saying things like fuck off and all that kind of stuff.
But when it gets, obviously we've avoided talking about the size of his penis.
He had a good size penis.
Yeah, I mean, it did get a slight erection at one point.
Well, you said it. I mean, what did you mean? Did he?
He did, slightly. Just a bit of a murmur. It murmured.
Oh, God.
It must have been when he was looking at you in the eye.
Yeah, that's probably it, mate.
That was the weirdest thing, is he looked at your eyes and you draw on a thing, and every time he looked up, it's just getting bigger.
Can you calm down? Yeah. You're trying to draw it. I really enjoyed
it.
There's
one pose that you've showed me that you drew, which looked where he's sitting backwards on a chair.
Yep.
And he's just got full, just like, it's weird, obviously, his penis, but that's quite a.
Yeah.
That's like bum hole, right?
Yeah, that one was, full battery.
Very cracky thing, that wasn't it? That sort of, I drew that. That was probably my main drawing.
Is that your favourite one?
Yeah, that's the one I did. Yeah, fully, to the best of my ability. So,
did it make you uncomfortable having to draw his penis?
Not really. It's just, what is it? It's just an appendage. It's like a thumb. Just a thumb. You don't go anywhere and see a thumb. That's what a penis is. It's just like a thumb.
It's just a thumb in between your legs.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I went to a strip club in Adelaide when I was about 18. I got very aroused. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, fuck. Because I'm only 18. It was like, and I shouldn't have been in there. I think I was a bit too young. And I got aroused. And I thought, oh, this is fucking getting a bit embarrassing. So I enjoyed it. But I thought, it's a seedy lifestyle. You know, when you're in the... When you get into porn and strippers and fuck, like, it's a very depressing fucking environment.
Yeah.
You can't help yourself because you're sexually frustrated and you want an outlet. But at the same time, when you're actually involved in the atmosphere of a strip club or sensual massages, it's fucking depressing.
Yeah, it's like porn. I think porn is detrimental to to people's minds.
Yes. Yeah, it is. I mean, I love porn, but same token, I go,
I love it.
I love porn. I love that he agreed with you. Man. I love porn.
It's just not healthy.
No.
Too late now.
You probably know the old days when you used to have to get a magazine in the bushes.
So used to have, if you go back, it depends how far you want to go back, before tape recorders or, you know, it was just like magazines.
No,
that was it. That was your lot. Mm. And
you sound genuinely crestfallen about it.
But there was something to be said for that. Like,
that's quite nice. You've got more imagination.
Yeah, you had to sort of...
Use your imagination.
It was static, obviously, so you had to like...
And you had to go out and search for the magazine. You had to go out and work for it. Now you just put the computer on, it's there.
Work for it. Go to the shops. You had to really put some effort in to get a bit of grot back in the 70s.
A mate of mine bought a rubber doll. Did I tell you about Joey, my schizophrenic friend? He bought one of these blow-up dolls.
And, I remember this.
He was living with another mate of his who was also a schizophrenic. He had two schizophrenics.
I remember you saying you had schizophrenic friends.
Yeah.
So Joey, was it?
Yeah, Joey bought a rubber doll. So anyway, so he had the relationship for a couple of weeks. Then he went out one day and he came back and his mate was actually shagging his fucking rubber doll.
Oh my God.
Joey goes off his head. He didn't attack his mate, but he grabbed the rubber doll and attacked it with a pair of scissors and just cut it up into pieces.
Oh my God.
That's based for being unfaithful. How the fuck is that? Yeah.
day. Julie wanted me to find out one of her girlfriends and apologise. Well, that won't be fucking happening at all. Yeah, anyone deserves an apology, it's me.
All right, so let's hear a few of Trevor's memos for this week.
I had a dream last night. I was with John Bishop at some, I don't know what it was, a wedding or some big do anyway, and the dream was sort of broken up into two sequences. It was me and John, who were no personally, nice bloke, and but it had nothing to do with him since he became rich and famous. But he was a nice bloke when he was poor. He was a very nice bloke, and I suspect he's still the same. But the anyway, with John, and we're having a bit of a laugh, and then the next minute we were outside, and Vladimir Putin just fucking happened to be there, and Putin was getting on a plane, and he was smiling for no apparent reason. He was smiling, and his plane disappeared, and then me and John just sort of walking around, and we look up, and we see a plane, a military plane actually, and it looked distinctly Russian, and then we thought, "Fuck me, it's a bomber," and then we saw the doors of the bomb doors open up, and something dropped out, and we thought, fuck, that could be anything, but it looks like a nuclear device of some description. So we ran into this, it seemed to be some kind of shelter, and as we got in there, we could see through the windows of the shelter a mushroom clad, very bright, dazzlingly bright. We didn't know what it was, but when we looked out, we could see the shape of a mushroom cloud, and in fact, we'd been nuked. When the dream finished, myself and John were still alive. So I don't know whether we survived the nuclear fucking bomb. Well, we must have, or maybe that was actually before the nuclear wind actually hit us, because if that had happened, if the nuclear wind had hit myself and John, we would have been instantly vaporized, and that would have been the end of our comedy careers. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that dream, a celebrity dream of sorts. Although I know John, so any people I know, I don't consider celebrities, they're just like normal people. But I just thought I'd mention that. So thanks very much, and I'll see you again sometime.
That's
an excellent dream. Yeah, we haven't had
surviving a nuclear holocaust.
The nuclear holocaust. So was
Putin behind it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What was what?
Was Vladimir Putin behind it?
No, he probably wasn't. But I think it was probably a North Korean or something along those lines, but in the dream I wasn't quite sure what nationality it was, but I thought nevertheless it could be a fucking false flag, you know, who knows. So but nevertheless it's quite, when you actually believe you're going to be nuked, because in the dream I feel like it's a nuclear happening, you know what I mean, so I'm absolutely like frozen in fucking fear.
Yeah,
and then I'm starting to think about what will it be like to be vaporized. Will it hurt?
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be so instant.
I think it'd be
down. You and Bishop would be.
So if you ever had a really hot shower, sometimes when you're in the hot shower, you think, "Fuck, if it gets any hotter, this is going to be absolutely fucking torture."
Yeah, I mean, it'd be torture for a split second, but that's you can ride that out. Everyone can ride that out.
Would last a little bit longer, you or Bishop, if you'd?
Well, I reckon we'd both die together.
Be a funny person for you to die with.
I wouldn't want to survive a nuclear holocaust anyway, but yeah, you'd be fucked, wouldn't you? Scarred and radioactive fucking poisoning.
You'd both be mutants.
And no woman would fucking look at you, would they, if you'd been involved in a nuclear explosion?
Well,
if they have. Well, everyone's in the same boat.
Depends, mate. You make a good life drawing subject. Three heads and two dicks, just like
So in the dark moment, sometimes you think, well, you know, this is all very nice, this life, but it could end very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, one nuclear fucking bomb.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Maybe actually, subconsciously, why don't you drop a line to John Bishop, ask how he's doing?
I probably wouldn't even remember me now. Oh, he might, actually.
He'd remember me. Everyone remembers Trev.
Yeah. I should, I might do that. Tell me about the dream. He's got more to lose than me.
Send it over to him, huh?
But so if I got vaporized, I go, well, I've got nothing to lose anyway. I've got I love Jewel, and I've got some family and friends, but I've got no career to lose, or I don't have a lot of assets.
You got this podcast to lose, mate.
Got the podcast to lose, that's true. But John's got a lot to lose. Fucking multimillionaire, lovely house, great lifestyle. That'd be all fucking gone. Just ash.
Yeah, but the family is the main thing.
Yeah, they'd be
it's
gone
worse
as well.
To lose. Yeah, it's worse to lose them than it is some house.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
He has got things.
Have to go on without me.
Yeah, that's the saddest thing. Saddest thing for John is he'd lose his house dying. Yeah. All right, let's hear another one.
All right.
Well, I had Julia's birthday party last night. Two of Julia's female friends came over. It was all going very well. And then one of them brought up Donald Trump, and which, yeah, we all agree he's a fucking idiot, right? I'm not defending Donald Trump, but really, the alternatives were not any better. And they're all pieces of shit. And I just said, listen, I don't support Trump, but they're all pieces of shit. And they got... Her two friends got really offended and tried to defend the fucking indefensible, which would be, I don't know, supporting Clinton or one of those other fucking dirtbags. But as I said, and then it, I tried to inform them about the, especially the financial crisis, what caused it, which was the fucking banks, the private central banks, by speculation and fucking about with derivatives caused the fucking crash in 2008. It's a documented fact. No need to even defend it because it's just a factual thing. But they literally stuck their hand or their fingers in their ear and went, yeah, not listening. And so at that point, I changed the subject to something quite trivial and shallow. I thought, I don't want to ruin Julia's big night, her birthday and all that kind of stuff. And she got highly embarrassed by the whole thing. But she's actually embarrassed by me, which she should have been fucking embarrassed by her fucking friends. Right? So that's all I've got to say on the matter. Things picked up after that. I had a few beers. I got a slight hangover today. Julie wants me to phone up one of her girlfriends and apologise. Well, that won't be fucking happening, I tell you. If anyone deserves an apology, it's me. Fuck's sake, the shit you got to put up with, mate. The fucking rubbish you're going to put up with.
There we go.
That like is that. Amazing. Do you know what? I forgot halfway through that it was her birthday that you did.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
And then when you said, I think I ruined her birthday,
yeah.
It was like.
Yeah, I did. I ruined it. Well, fuck, I don't know. I ruined it. They ruined it.
Man. Was it four of you there? You, her, and two of
them? Yeah, two of her girlfriends.
And you reduced them to putting their fingers in their ears saying, I'm not listening.
Yeah. A lot of tension in the room.
I bet there was.
At that point.
How was it after that?
Yeah, there was. Still tension.
Yeah.
And still to this day?
No, I haven't been back since.
All right.
No tension.
Yeah. They are no longer friends.
Yeah. You know, get rid of the tension. Just get rid of your mates.
I didn't bring it up. They brought it up. They bring up the fucking subject. And I go, well, fucking put me 2 cents worth. And I wouldn't have mentioned it otherwise. But they brought up Trump.
As soon as they said it, could you see Julia's face go?
She started to speed up around the kitchen, try and come between us, like putting stuff on the table, like come between us, like try and cut the conversation off. But once I'm fucking wound up, you know, that's fucking it.
No one cried, though.
No one cried. No, I think Julia was very upset.
Yeah.
I don't know if she cried.
What gave you the idea that she was upset?
Moody. Yeah. Very, very moody.
Was she quite quiet over the next couple of days?
Yeah. Not a couple of days, but probably the next day, quiet.
Yeah.
And then sort of said, you should apologise. I'm not apologising. Fucking, what is this?
From your perception of it,
you've
obviously given your view. For needing to apologise, there's nothing wrong with you saying Clinton's an idiot or whatever.
Yeah.
But was there something else that you maybe did?
Did you actually say anything to them that might have upset them on a personal level?
Well, I just said, why don't you listen? You might fucking learn something.
That's where it tipped over.
Let's have a listen to that on the voice memo.
I've just found out from Julie that... apologising to a girlfriend has nothing to do with the what you'd call a debate last night. It has to do with the fact that I said she had large shoulders.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, that is amazing.
That is an amazing revelation.
I say, by the way, you got fucking really good shoulders.
Good. Did you say good shoulders or big shoulders?
Oh, I can't remember what to say.
I'm sure.
Well, I reckon you said big on that voice memo. Because good shoulders is that's a totally different thing.
It's a weird thing to notice.
You've got good shoulders. But to say to a woman, you've got big shoulders, that is absolute.
I meant big good because I quite like big shoulders.
Yeah, but
just one wrong word.
Keep digging yourself out of that hole.
Yeah, one wrong word.
That makes more sense now that you had to ring and apologise. I thought, having a debate, all right, but saying someone said. But where did it come in? Where was the context of you saying she's got Big shoulders.
Just trying to remember, because when we changed the subject, you know, we
changed the subject. Yeah, it's about how big your old shoulders are.
I think things were calming
down. That's a proper gear change, isn't it?
I made the shoulder comment.
Oh, God. She was like, whatever, as long as we don't talk about Trump, it's going to be a good meal.
Yeah, you've
got some big shoulders.
Oh, shit.
So, anyway, she hasn't actually been back, actually. I haven't seen her since. Oh, I don't know if there's any grudge held. I don't hold a grudge anyway. But
you're the one that didn't do anything
to you. Well,
I mean, I stabbed that guy the other day. I don't hold any grudges. I stabbed him in the belly 8 times.
But Julie never backs me up. You know, she never fucking supports me when we have these debates.
Yeah.
She always takes their side, like, and they're totally innocent and I'm the guilty party. But sometimes I don't bring up the subject matter, you know.
Well, you did bring up... We've gone back to Trump here. We're still talking about shoulders.
You brought up the shoulders. You did bring up the shoulders.
I did bring up the shoulders, that's true. But the other bloke, Roy, you know, he mentioned... We're talking about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Then he asked me a question about freedom of speech. I gave him my opinion. He said, take it back. Take that back. I go, no, I won't fucking take it back. He said, take it back. I'm going. I go, well, fucking go. Yeah. And he storms out. I haven't seen him since either.
So he's dead in a fucking skip or something.
Yeah, fuck, and it? Also, by the way, she had a fat head as well. I forgot to say, had a really fat head in a good way.
I love fat heads.
I just expressed my opinion, and they're offended by. And what happened to freedom of speech fucking thing? He was so in favour of freedom of speech.
So you haven't apologised?
No, I don't. I very rarely apologise for anything.
That's not a good rule. That's a good rule.
4 seasons in, we're gathering that.
Sometimes I'll give you a present.
Also, when do you give us? Sometimes you'll get Julia to buy a present.
Sometimes I get Julia to give, you know, get something, and I'll try and soften the. So I won't apologise. I'm sorry. I'll act like I'm full of contrition. Is that the word?
Yeah.
So I'd rather say, let's fucking just fucking move along, and here's a Jaffa cake.
Here's a Jaffa cake. Let's have some new friends. Let's get to Trevor's poem, which is it's about the
art class,
the naked dude you drew.
Yeah, the naked bloke.
I'm excited about this poem.
I'm excited about
okay.
This.
It was called, I had a rude name for the name of it, actually. I called it was Raining Cunt, I'd Get an Arsehole. Not a great name.
Sage. a bit of wisdom. If it was raining cunts, I'd get an arsehole. I think that one was Epicurus as well.
There we go. My life drawing class poem. Life drawing class, another try. No graveyard, no church nearby. No triggers, the coast was clear. No anxiety or existential fear. A man, a pencil, and the female form. Is it art or is it porn? I admire art on every level, but naked women are something special. I arrived at class keen as mustard, but my expectations must be adjusted. I was outraged. Was this a joke? Naked female replaced by a naked bloke. The first time ever someone quietly said, my night was ruined, I'd been misled. I came here to draw massive tits, and all I got was muscle and dangly bits.
Yes, Trevor.
Particularly like the rhyming mustard with adjusted.
Yes.
That's a lovely rhyme, isn't it? Rhyming couplet that is.
Fantastic. Fantastic rhyming poem about you having to draw a dude's dangly bits.
Yeah.
That was it. You have fun, Trev?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Good week.
I've enjoyed it.
I wish I'd been at that art class.
Oh, mate. We'll do it again just for fun.
All right. Just and I'll make sure it's three naked dudes.
Yes, I'll be in for that.
See you, mate.
Right, see you next week.
All right, that was episode 2.
That was damn funny, wasn't it?
Just that
you got
whole
to hear all about our little night out at the life drawing class.
Life drawing class and that voice memo about the apologies.
Just massive shoulders. That's such a rookie error, isn't it?
That was fun. That was and no way staged at all. It was genuinely me going, that seems like a reason why. I forgot. I just said you had massive shoulders. That was great. That was amazing. Next week, I think we got. You're going to the football with Trev?
We are going to the football.
Take him to a Tottenham game.
Match.
Ugh, first ever live
football match.
I hope Trev hates Spurs off the back of it.
I don't think he will.
Anyway, that's a different issue for a different time.
Exactly.
If you enjoy the podcast, iTunes, review us. Spread the word. Download it on a friend's phone. Podcasts are good. Just download it. Teach them the way of Trev. Trevolution must continue.
Follow
Babysitting us. Trev / Babysitting Trev on Facebook.
Yep. that's it, isn't it?
That's it, man.
Yeah. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.